My name is Pat, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Okay.
And yes, it is absolutely a privilege to be asked to speak at an OA meeting. I'm stoked to be sitting in an OA meeting with you guys tonight. So thank you. I thought that I don't know if I will. I wrote a few notes down, but what I'll do is I'm going to hit the timer here. I've got a little timer. I'm going to go 5 minutes on what it was like, why I'm here, and then I think I'll take a chunk of time to maybe, since it's Valentine's Day, to talk about relationships with myself and family, friends, and partners, and then I'll close with just, a couple of minutes talking about gratitude, probably. So, I am a compulsive overeater. My name is Pat, and I'm here because, I'm here because the same reason you guys are here. I can't control food, and I don't have an off button. I like more, particularly sugar, but pretty much any food, even abstinent foods, I definitely can overeat. And, briefly, part of my story is I'm also a sober alcoholic, and I started Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 21. And when I was in my, I guess I was probably my late 20s, I went to one OA meeting, and at the Saturday U District, and big meeting, and I was driven there by what got me here last summer, which was the feeling that I can't stand myself. And I went into the meeting, and people were talking about their relationship with food and how they were recovering from compulsive overeating. And my brain told me that I could do it myself. And I already knew I knew the 12 steps. I was fluent in the 12 steps, and I was a super smart guy. And really, I just, it's fear. And that's what's becoming clear to me, sitting in these rooms and doing the steps, is how much my life is still ruled by fear, even having worked the 12 steps. So I came in here in July. July 15th was my first meeting. And what drove me to the meeting was this intense self-hatred had started to build, and it's a real familiar feeling for me. And being sober and having worked the 12 steps, living in self-hatred is really, really uncomfortable. And I've got a high pain threshold and a large tolerance for pain, and I can deny that and push it aside for years is what I did. And leading up to July, I wasn't as heavy as I've ever been, but I was getting close to that point again. And I realized that there had been a long, long time before I had looked clearly at myself in the mirror. There had been like flashing, like no pausing and looking at myself. And I started hearing ads on the radio about for-profit plans to get in shape that started to sink in, like, oh, yeah, I should really be doing those things. And so I spent a day researching those things. And when I plugged in the one that I'd heard, I read all this stuff about it, and there was a lot of comments. I read them all, and I just intuitively just felt like, oh, God, please don't do this to yourself, Pat. Don't go pay a bunch of money to try to follow the rules and not eat. It was about really not eating. It was like a powdered situation. And then gain it all back, which is what I had done. This cycle of losing the same 30 or 40 pounds over and over and over in my life, I just knew that that's what would happen if I did this. I knew that I would lose it. I would follow the rules. I would lose it, but I knew it would come back. And I researched all the other diets that came up. And in that moment, I had a moment of clarity where it occurred to me that I was sober. And I had worked the 12 steps and I had been to an OA meeting. Why don't I just go? Why don't I go check it out? And I went to a meeting on Saturday and, wow, that went fast. Let me change this now to the middle range. Wait a minute, Ken. There we go. Was an immediate feeling of that I belonged and I was welcomed, and they asked for newcomers and I spoke and I said, I'm here because I don't want to hate myself anymore and I can't stop compulsively overeating. And I said, I don't even care if I lose weight. I don't want to hate myself, which was true. And by the time I left the meeting, it had already shifted. The self-hatred had already clicked. It hasn't like magically completely gone away, but it was enough walking out of that room to go, I already felt so much better that I wanted to come back. And so I got a sponsor within about a week and a half. He had me do a food history. And in that food history, I realized that I started drinking alcoholically with my first drink at 13, but my primary addiction is food and sugar. And that started, my earliest memories are around, is there enough? I want my share and I want more. All food related, particularly around sugar. And those came up over and over as I did the food history. And, the 20 candy bars in one afternoon, lots of whipped cream stories. None of them is kind of in a Valentine's Day sort of mood, but it was more just like building a wall so I could get more food on the plate. Giant oversized bags of fast food, just for me. Shame eating. Eating in the car on the way home, hiding the wrappers, all of the stuff that's in our book. I did that stuff. And the one story I remember vividly is splitting a candy bar with a friend. And the program was one person cuts, one person chooses. And I picked to cut. And it was the most excruciating 15 minutes of my life. It was like, the TV show with the bomb. Is it the blue wire or the red wire? I looked at that candy bar literally for like 7 minutes, sweating, trying to get the exact middle. And just really intense, about, is there enough? And I want my share. Which leads to an isolation and a self-hatred. And so that's why I'm here, which ran long, and the steps kind of 1, 2, 3, and I've been doing, I just finished my fifth step with my sponsor, and I'm realizing that the relationships, now that it's Valentine's Day, I thought I would talk about how my relationship with food has impacted my entire life with every relationship that I've been in, with my family, my siblings, as an uncle, I'm super well loved, and yet when I'm in my compulsive overeating, there's a self-hatred and a loathing that blocks me off from people. I put up walls, and I can't truly connect with them. My sister and I take turns jokingly, I'm so fat. No, I'm so fat. No, I'm so fat. No, I'm so fat, which is. Sitting in it wants, I want to cry, right? It's a way to separate myself from the pain of my compulsive overeating. My oldest brother very gently, hey, let's take a walk. You wanna walk around the lake? Very gently has tried to get me into exercise over and over and over. My second oldest brother is another jokey relationship where I was thinking in my 20s I was in really good shape and very strong, and a doctor had told me once that I could carry 240 with my frame easily, which is obese for me. 240 pounds, I'm obese, tipping into morbidly, probably by insurance standards, and which is where my top weight has been. And when I get into compulsive overeating, my second oldest brother will say, doctor said you can carry 240. And jokey. And then I'm everybody's favorite uncle. I've got a bunch of nieces and nephews, and I think I'm not a parent. I don't have any children, so I've got that non-dad energy, which makes me the favorite, which is cool. I love it. It's been the greatest job ever. And yet, when I don't like myself and I am overweight, and I can't enjoy being with my nieces and nephews. They want to run and play. I don't want to run and play. So the isolation, it's like I wasn't putting that together until I sat in these rooms and started working the program, and how clear it is that it impacts my relationship with my family. Same thing with my friends. There's an isolation that even if I'm in a room of people or going to meetings in groups, there's an isolation energetically where I'm telling myself I'm not good enough. I'm telling myself whatever you're thinking of me, and I'm making up a story about what you're thinking of me, and I'm given that power, which takes me away from the people who really just want to love me, but I cannot receive it. There's family, there's friends, and then I've been married twice, and once in my 20s, it was very short. I don't think food really impacted that as much as my second marriage, which was, it was really, really clear. And said, like, you know, I know I've been to speakers meetings where people hand out photos, which I think is really cool. I didn't do that. Part of that is this self-hatred isolation for years where I avoided the camera, did not want to be in any photos. So there's probably some family ones I would have to go to somebody else to get if I ever do this again. But I just lost my train of thought. Oh, second marriage, Tina. It's really clear to me when I look at those wedding photos how unhappy I was. It breaks my heart, really. And my compulsive overeating certainly had an impact on our relationship. It's not the only reason why we didn't make it. Of course, there's two human beings doing the best they can, and often it's not the best. But there was definite energy around the way I ate, compulsively, my share, very intense, a lot of shame from her. And a lot too, where like it's the energy that I'm expecting, that I create in my life. I know that when I come to the table with this plate of food that's this high, I'm going to get the look that I deserve, right? Quote unquote. And that happened over and over and over. And one time in particular, I remember it was like a birthday party, and I went and I got some takeout food from an Indian restaurant. We bring it back home, and it was a party. And I went through and I loaded my plate like a compulsive overeater, and there was a scene about that. And I remember holding on to my anger at her, this intense sort of grudge, resentment that quite honestly is just dissipating. It's been 10 years and I'm hopeful that if I stay in these rooms and I am willing to do the work, I'm on 6 now, and I can see how my fear has driven me. If I'm willing to surrender this fear and this self-hatred and this blocking of your love, there'll be an opportunity for me to make amends to these people in my life. And I don't want to rush that. I do and I don't, man. It's like, I'll get to that in a second. The other one was, so that my second marriage ended about 6 or 7 years ago. And then I didn't date for a long time, and I dated last year, or a year and a half ago, for a year. And it was wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was introduced to the 12 Steps in Overeaters Anonymous in the 80s in New York. And she had the book on her shelf. And I know for a fact that my relationship with sugar and food had an impact on our relationship and played a part in us not being able to continue to be in a relationship, which, that's again, not the only reason. There's multiple things, as with two human beings, but I do know, okay, there's the middle portion. Let's do 5 more minutes.
It's a small meeting, so.
It's a small meeting.
If you need to run over, feel free.
Okay, okay. So there's a part of me, like when I first came in here and I started feeling better immediately, I wanted to race out, particularly to Molly, who I had dated just previously, and said, I'm in OA, I'm sorry. But I knew that I don't want to have to make amends again. I would like to do it right and take the time to understand myself and be able to be clear, so I'm not in a situation where I'm making an amends because I want them to like me or love me or whatever, as opposed to being clear with the principles of the program and not set myself up, quite honestly, to experience shame again and want to compulsively overeat. So that's my goal, right, is to keep showing up. So I said, don't rush the amends. Oh, and then oddly, two things. Tina and I got a divorce, like I said, 6 or 7 years ago. We had a brother and sister kitty team, Ruby and Steve. She took Steve, and I have Ruby. And Steve has kidney failure. So I've been seeing Tina every other night for the last 5 months. And we've been giving Steve subcutaneous fluids. She's needed help to get, you know, to hold. I hold Steve. She puts the needle in. And so there's been this very sweet connection that's all about Steve and really clear happening. But I noticed the other night we were just kind of chatting, and I said that I'd been asked to speak at this OA meeting, and I thought, you know, I was thinking about that it's Valentine's Day, and I'll probably be talking about relationships. And I started to, like, swing into, I realized that my compulsive overeating had an impact on our relationship. And then I paused and I, okay, don't, you're rushing this. Don't make, like I just said, try to make an amends when you're not ready. And on top of it, what came up was the scene in the kitchen about the Indian food. And, I brought that up, and literally the day before, had I thought about it, I would have hated her. As I was talking about it with her, as I left that night, I was realizing, like, there's this, like, piece of surrender going on where I extend grace to you guys pretty easily. It's hard for me to extend it to myself. There's been this, like, little piece of, like, oh, two people doing the best they can in a moment in the kitchen one night at a birthday party. It just didn't go well. Whatever. So there's that. And then, okay. And then the last piece about the relationship piece I'll say is that I came in here on July 15th, and about 6 weeks later I was in New York City. I went to New York to go to a Husky football game. They were playing Rutgers in New Jersey. And I went early to be an AA nerd and do the GSO office and do Bill's House and Stepping Stones and do a lot of stuff like that. And on a total fluke, I met this magnificent woman last July. I mean, or August. So literally 6 weeks after coming in OA. And now I'm sitting in the rooms now, and I realize there's a correlation between how I felt July 15th and how I felt in August was night and day. There had been a light that went on in my eyes that made it possible for me to be available to meet somebody and not be afraid to just see what can happen. So now, it's been 6 months. I've got this incredible girlfriend who lives in Brooklyn, New York. We have an amazing relationship and communication. Completely upfront about OA. And that's the thing that really surprises me. When we first met, we went out to dinner with my brother and her. So, I won't even get into it. It's a weird way how we met. Just total fluke. But I was just kind of yammering. It wasn't like that this was somebody I was interested in. Just totally fell into my lap. And I was talking about, yeah, we're in this restaurant. Here's why I'm eating the way I'm eating. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in OA for 6 weeks. I can't eat sugar successfully. I can't eat french fries successfully. And I was just talking about it. And, all right, 2 more minutes. So all I, she made this shirt for me. Look at this. This is Valentine's Day. We've got a heart, and it says Sanctuary Within. And I'm starting to experience a piece of loving myself again where I can experience this sanctuary within. And I know that so I'll close with this. I do know, so I've got this written down, the chance to love and to be loved, it begins with self-love, period. I mean, I get that so truly, and I know that when I am compulsively overeating and I'm rationalizing why I am and how I can do it successfully, it's impossible for me to love myself. And then I block you out, and I limit my life. And so compulsive overeating equals shame and self-hatred, which equals self-love being impossible, which equals the blocking of receiving love. And I heard recently, this is kind of, in general, there's a quote about like, you attract the love into your life that you feel like you deserve. And sitting here today, I believe that. I believe that I attract the love to my life that I feel like I deserve. And the correlation to that for me today in Overeaters Anonymous is that I want to attract the recovery from my compulsive overeating to my life that I feel like I deserve. And I'm really grateful that walking into that meeting on Saturday and July 15th and being loved by you guys, I do feel like I deserve to be here. And that I do feel like I deserve to give myself this opportunity to, you know, literally one day at a time, surrender the fact that I want to compulsively overeat or eat sugar and attract that recovery to myself that will allow me to not block the love that's available to me and the love that I have available to give to others. So I appreciate this opportunity, and I will stop talking now.